Amen. Please open your copies of God's Word to the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, page 843, if you're using the Pew Bible there. Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. Let us hear God's Word for us. Now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out! Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Let's pray. Father, penetrate our hearts tonight with your word. Give us hope. Give us peace. Give us confidence in all that Christ is. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. At this point in the Gospel of Mark, you can almost begin to imagine the significance that the Galilee Lake is taking on for the disciples. There are certain spots on the earth where when I reach that place and see that view, my mind is flooded with memories. I can think of the Mount Washington Tunnel going into Pittsburgh, where you're just driving through the Pennsylvania countryside, and then you reach a tunnel, and you think, oh, behold, a tunnel. But when you break out the other side of that tunnel, there is Pittsburgh in all of its glory. And as I drive through that tunnel, I think about our time there in the pastorate and seminary. Our son Joel being born there, just tooling around the city, enjoying life in Pittsburgh. Now, there might also be some places like that for me up in the Monterey Peninsula or on some country roads back in Ohio. By this point, when the disciples come to that lake, that's what we would call it in our perspective and understanding. To call it a sea is very optimistic. It's a lake. And by the time they would see the shore or see a boat or be getting into a boat, their minds had to fill with all of the stories, all of the lessons, all of the experiences, all of the lessons that Jesus had given them there on the Sea of Galilee. I've had the opportunity a couple of times in my life to get on a boat and travel out into the Sea of Galilee, even spend some time opening the word to some fellow travelers there on that lake. And it's such a beautiful spot and such a focal point throughout Christ's ministry, especially in these stories and vignettes that we are seeing in these recent weeks, where Jesus and his disciples are just back and forth and back and forth across that lake. And along the way, we've felt the angst with the disciples of their at times seeming to have all the light bulbs on, getting what Jesus is saying, and at other times perceiving that maybe all the lights are on, but nobody is home. They just seem to be ultimately missing the boat as they try to discern the Lord's teaching. Like some lyrics from an old song that says, "Who draws the crowd and plays so loud? Baby, it's the guitar man. Who's gonna steal the show? You know, baby, it's the guitar man." Then you listen to the music and you like to sing along. You want to get the meaning out of each and every song. Then you find yourself a message and some words to call your own and take them home. He can make you love. He can get you high. He will bring you down. Then he'll make you cry. Something keeps him moving, but no one seems to know what it is that makes him go. I wonder if the disciples thought, we're traveling all over with this guy. We're hearing everything that he's saying. We just want to understand. We want to get the message, and we want to be able to take the message home with us. Those of you maybe slightly older than me might say, that's right. That song is "The Guitar Man" by Bread. There's the connecting point. As the disciples wanted to take the message Christ was giving them, they had thought that they thought they were getting in the moment, but they, like we so often do, struggle to take that message home. What is he saying? What is the truth here? Is this just one big metaphor that I'm trying to understand? Or is this something that I can wrap my mind around, sink my teeth into? We see in stories like the one tonight that this is not just some big picture that's being painted for us. Quite the opposite. It's a little too real. It's almost too tangible, too relatable for our own comfort, but not for our own good. So we will have three bread-related points tonight. One, we see this loaf of opportunity. This loaf of opportunity. Now they had forgotten to bring bread. And at this point, like you might say to your kids, how many times are you going to have to forget your lunch before you remember to pack it? They had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. Now, it's important to note that this is not a life-threatening situation. At no point in the Sea of Galilee are you so far from shore that you're going to starve before you get there. And if they had a loaf of any decent size, everybody would get at least one bite that would keep the blood sugar going until they got to the other side, where certainly there was some type of market or vendor or even a home that they could knock on the door and get some food. But this is simply the setting which Christ uses to teach them and challenge them and develop them. And friends, this points to the simplicity of the moments in our lives in which our faith will be challenged, developed, and the state of our faith exposed. Very often we think, certainly there will be some grand moment where I will be able to exhibit my faith, and I'm going to save all of my faith for that moment. In the meantime, in these little piddly day-to-day issues and things, I'll just handle them on my own. Thank you very much, Jesus. And so as this moment is presented, we see, secondly, a slice of wisdom. A slice of wisdom. Jesus almost, I feel like he's almost whispering this. You can see the disciples having their heads together. Who brought the bread? Wait, you didn't bring the bread? Well, I didn't bring the bread. Well, for some, you think, who actually had a loaf of bread with them? And Jesus just kind of calls gently out over the conversation, watch out. Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. What Jesus is doing is taking the language of their frustration, the language of the focal point of this moment, and he is turning it, he's bringing it around to something that is the greater issue in this moment. Now, Jesus uses the word leaven here, or we would use the word yeast. And this holds a prominent place in biblical imagery and the Jewish imagination. And it's something that historically pictured sin for God's people. Remember back in Exodus chapter 12, we read, "And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening." So that was for a week that they were to eat unleavened bread. "For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread." And remember that there would be a very detailed searching of the home. This is still practiced in the Jewish community ceremonially. But it is done to search out, get all the dust, all of the dirt, all of the places where this yeast, this leaven might possibly be hiding under the couch and under the cushions and back in the corner. And they clean out their house because all leaven, all yeast is to be removed from the house. Why? Because it's pointing back to that day of redemption from Egypt. They had to be ready to go. Why they eat unleavened bread for Passover is because yeast takes time to rise. And they couldn't linger. When their redemption came, they needed to be ready to flee to it. They needed to get there ASAP. Not wait for the dough to rise so it can be baked. I'll get there. Just go on without me, I'll catch up. Because I've got this thing developing over here. Leaven takes time to rise, and so does sin. So does sin. What is the leaven of the Pharisees? What is the sin of the Pharisees? What is the sin of Herod? Let's think of this simply around one term that we find in Scripture, the title, the King of the Jews. The Pharisees would not admit to the fact that Jesus was the answer to their problems, and they kept looking for another. This is reflected in John 19. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And that's when you see sometimes crosses and art, and you'll see the little sign on the top, and it says I-N-R-I. And that's the Latin first letters of that phrase that says Jesus, Yeshu of Nazareth, King Rex of Juden, the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man